This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
There's more to come from the Daybells. We'll get into more of the letters tomorrow. But in case you're playing along at home, you need Depeche Mode, you need Oingo Boingo, B-52's song Private Idaho, Keen, Spiraling, and Tim McGraw where the green grass grows if you're making that playlist at home.
That's going to screw with my Apple playlist because it always takes what I listen to and gives me my own created playlist. So anybody playing along, be careful what you put in there. Next week, you might be really surprised.
And now here's your long distance dedication on the Chad Daybell Top 40.
Ooh, we should mix in Chad Daybell writing a long distance request to Casey Kasem.
Dear Casey.
Ooh, that's for later in the day. I got something to do.
Oh, God, Tony's making notes. Here we go, man.
Here's your long distance dedication.
Oh, wait for tomorrow. It's going to be great. It's a Daybell extravaganza this week.
Oh, my God. I started something, didn't I, Stacey?
Yes, you did. I got to write a note. Casey.
You should know better by now.
Daybell dedication.
What's wrong with you?
Maybe we'll mix a little Robert Stack in there, too, or something.
It was a little dog named Snuggles.
Dear Casey, like the Indian runner ducks, and I did too.
Dear Chad, here's Oingo Boingo, your long distance dedication. We're going to go with more of that tomorrow in just a few minutes. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, going to be joining us, giving us some grounded insight on everything that we've been going through and everything that we've been seeing over the last week in relation to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That is coming up. But before we get there, just to give you a little more refresher on the insanity of the Daybells, here's Lori Vallow, just a few months ago at her sentencing, reading or telling her truth about what's going on. Let's take a look at that.
Representing myself at these two trials was a constitutional right that I exercised. I could not have done so without my team. Ana Elena Ramirez, my paralegal, Jeff White, my investigator, and Pamela Hicks and Robert Abernathy, my advisory counsel. I acknowledge their diligence and hard work in helping me exercise that right. They worked tirelessly, and I appreciate them. Representing myself, I have learned much about the law through this process, and I'm grateful for the knowledge that I have gained. Knowledge is eternal, and it is only love and the knowledge that we acquire in this life that we take with us into the next. I have studied the rules of law, case law, and the like. I was amazed and enlightened as my understandings were completely changed from before I started this process. Before this long court journey, I only had basic understanding of the judicial process. I was of the understanding that both parties would be able to get up at a trial and each tell their side of the story, but I soon learned that the rules of law do not allow that.
Actually, they do.
The process is much more complex than that. It is not designed for that. Although the Constitution of the United States was designed for that, the rules of law negate most of that. As a defendant, I was precluded from calling several witnesses. Other witnesses for the defense were precluded from testifying things that they did witness. As a defendant, I was precluded from asking law enforcement specific questions. I was also precluded from admitting documents that the state turned over to the defense as discovery. The founding fathers of this country did not intend for the rules and laws of trial that have been implemented into this justice system to make it impossible for the accused to defend themselves. Their objective was quite the opposite. They advocated for a fair and impartial and speedy trial. It was never their intention for people to be sitting in jail for years and years waiting to be tried while the state continues to try to gather new evidence against them. This is what our unjust system has become. Men and women sitting in jail for years and waiting to be heard. The constitutional right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness thwarted. My case is not unique. There are many here in Maricopa County that have been in jail almost 10 years waiting to be tried. The conditions of this jail are not for long-term confinement. You do not have access to direct medical care. You do not have access to proper nutrition. You do not have access to sunlight. You do not have access to decent dental care. In fact, when you have been at Maricopa County Jail for 1 year, they come to your door and offer you a vitamin D supplement because you have not been in the sun in a year. Imagine this for years. It is inhumane. The state of Arizona, according to the laws, since I am a prisoner from another state, only had 90 days in which to give me two speedy trials. That's 3 months. I arrived here at MCSO on November 30th, 2023. That is over a year and a half, 20 months specifically. That is over six times the amount of time it should have taken for me to have these two trials. But Arizona leaves this law up to the judge's discretion, and the judge has the power to extend your trial at his will. Even though the 6th and 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States proclaims otherwise. 98% of all cases in Maricopa County end in plea deals where the accused plead guilty. And I'll tell you why. It's so miserable in that jail that they plead guilty so they can go to the prison and have decent food, decent sunlight, and a chance to live. 2% of all cases in Maricopa County that actually do go to trial, of all the cases that actually do go to trial, only 0.2 end in acquittal. That is one out of 1,200 people who go to trial go home.
That's actually not the correct stat.
Is that a system designed to convict you? The rules of law governing trial assure that. As you witnessed in my two cases, the judge supports the state to achieve this outcome. So here we are. The state of Arizona has accomplished its intention. One, to extradite me from Idaho. Two, to convict me. And three, to add to my ledger of lifetimes. The state used countless taxpayers' money to transport me, house me, millions of dollars to wrongly convict me on two charges that they made sure judicially that I could not defend myself against. I know political aspirations, raises, and job promotions were at stake. So congratulations. I was convicted in the media long before I went to trial. We all know that there was no way for me to come to Arizona and get a fair, impartial, or speedy trial. And now that fact has been proven. The state of Arizona brought me here when I was already serving 5 life sentences. Now I will serve 7 life sentences. Will that be enough? Will that be enough? I want everyone to know that I mourn with all of you. I am sorry for your pain. Losing those close to you is painful, and I acknowledge all of the pain, and I do empathize. I feel it too. If I was accountable for these crimes, I would acknowledge it, and I would let you know how sorry I was. But I have witnessed for myself what it is like to leave this mortal existence and return home when I temporarily died in the hospital giving birth to my daughter, Tylee. When our spirit leaves our body and we return to the pure energy state in the spirit world, we immediately no longer feel hate, anger, envy, or resentment. I promise you. We come to earth to experience these emotions, but these emotions are immediately replaced by a blissful, heightened sense of peace, love, joy, and well-being. The moment our spirit leaves our body, we feel more alive than we ever did on earth. And we have deep empathy for those we have left behind. We do not want our loved ones to grieve or be sad. We know that they will because that's a mortal experience, but they come to comfort us. We immediately know the minute you leave your body, you are aware of who you are why you came to earth, and that we will all be together again soon, and that this separation is only temporary. All of the cares and pressures and problems immediately melt away. And after comforting our loved ones, we move on with our eternal life, continuing to pursue knowledge and wisdom and understanding in eternal progression. Heaven is a very busy and happy place where everyone is engaged in projects that they love to do. That includes Joshua, that includes Tylee, that includes Tammy, that includes Charles. No one there, none of these people, are seeking revenge or justice. So although we miss our loved ones, and I do too, I assure you that they are busy and happy and peaceful. I have felt the kind of contentment that they feel now, and I try to duplicate that here. So whether I'm giving 5 life sentences or 7 life sentences, I will continue to try to uplift and help and strengthen those around me. It does not matter where you serve on earth, as long as you do it with love. It doesn't matter if I'm given 7 lifetimes or the death penalty like my husband. What things look impossible to man are easy for Jesus. Jesus tells us in the Bible not to judge, but this whole entire justice system is just that. So I want you to watch, because God will show the world great miracles. I will continue to love everyone I come in contact with, and I will turn this battle over to God. If this is God's battle, then the math doesn't matter. 7 lifetimes or the death penalty doesn't matter. God's miracles will abound. When a soldier goes off to war, he is a soldier. When a soldier comes back from war, he is a warrior. And Jesus is in the prisons. He is turning his soldiers into warriors. For the prisoners shall go free. Sometimes victory doesn't look like victory until it's finished. Prisoners who have been told that they will never go free will be free. And I want you to expect miracles, and I want you to watch for them, because you will see. We fear not what man can do, because God's warriors surround us. When the battle is relentless, and this one has been for over 6 years, remember, God is building his army of warriors in the prison system. He is turning Sauls into Pauls. When Jesus is sending his servants into the prisons to prepare his warrior team, we will be there only until this purpose is complete, and then the warriors will walk free. We are redeemed by Jesus Christ, so we are free right now. But his chains will break. Prison walls will fall. The power and majesty of God will be revealed. When Jesus is ready, he will call his warriors from the prisons, and we will walk free, and we will serve him. I will quote Moroni, the great prophet, from Moroni 8:16, and he says, "Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God. I fear not what man can do, for perfect love casteth out all fear." And in Ether, Moroni says, "And now, if I have no authority for these things, judge ye. For ye shall know that I have authority when ye shall see me, and we shall stand before God at the last day."
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.